Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. So glad to be back here on the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, not even a little bit. But we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. As I said, it's good to be back. It's been a long time. We've upgraded the facilities here in the boiler room, deep in the bowels of the Weekly Worldview headquarters here at the McBurney compound. And we're just glad to have you with us. It's been too long. It's been far too long. I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a while. I was off. I was out hunting, killing, and eating in New York City, as a matter of fact, Manhattan, and Chicago. Two of America's major metropolises. And I'm glad to be back out here in the country.
What do you mean by killing?
Killing. Hunting, killing, and eating. That's what I was doing.
What's killing me?
That's when you close the sale.
Oh.
That's killing, yes. And then eating is what you do with the money.
Ah.
Yeah, that's it's an old salesman thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, but before I get into all that, because there's some of that that I'll talk about, I'm not sure where to start in the news, whether I want to start with Michael Flynn, the ousted defense, what was he, intelligence, something like that. One of Trump's flunkies. A former Obama flunky, from what I understand. It was bounced out. Anyway, we can start with Flynn. We can start with Malik Obama. Malik Obama, that's Barack Obama's alleged half-brother. Or we could start with that highway fire on the freeway, under the freeway there, in Atlanta. Let's start there because that's what had me on the edge of my seat for the last few days as my extremely attractive audio engineer and I were watching the national news. We saw the fire, the freeway collapse. The whole city of Atlanta was thrown into chaos and turmoil. And of course, we asked the question, who did it? And why? Was it Mohammed, the terrorist? Or was it Lloyd, the vagrant? What are the odds? Well, we didn't know for several days. Nobody knew. And it turns out that the truth of this story is somewhat emblematic of where the greatest threats to America really come from. And they're not from a relatively backward civilization of 7th century fanatics. Although they are a threat, they're not the biggest threat on a day-to-day basis. The biggest threat is from a generation of godless 21st century misfits born right here in America. That's right. Three people have been charged in Atlanta in the fire that collapsed Interstate 85. One fella says he was gathering under the bridge simply to smoke some crack with some friends. And, well, a fire started. It turns out that his friends say that he started the fire. His name is Basil, so it wasn't Lloyd. It was Basil Ellaby, along with Sophia and Barry, a guy named Barry. They were down there smoking some crack, or at least now they say they were just talking about smoking crack. And they didn't actually smoke any crack. And he claims he didn't start the fire, but two of the crackheads say that he did start the fire. He did it on purpose. And there you have it. Your 21st century misfit who collapsed the freeway. That's, to me, I thought it was most likely that it was a vagrant and a loser and a bum. Because that's just the type of thing that a moronic, idiot, vagrant, loser, bum would stumble into and cause like $1 billion worth of damage. That sounds about right. Mohammed, on the other hand, still relatively too backwards thinking to pull off anything quite that fantastical since their A team was killed in the 9/11 attacks, and it's been the B and C team ever since. Now, so there we have it. Lloyd and Lenore, the homeless vagrants under the bridge. But should we go to Michael Flynn or Malik? Let's go to Malik. Malik Obama. Now, this story did not garner a lot of press because it involves Barack Obama's birth certificate, and nobody really cares about Barack Obama's birth certificate anymore. And this was March 9th, so it's a bit dated, but I'm sorry. I've been away, okay? On March 9th, Barack Obama's half-brother tweeted an image of what appeared to be Barack Obama's Kenyan birth certificate. Had his footprint on it and everything. And it was listed in Coast Province General Hospital in Mombasa, in Kenya. And he tweeted that. And it turns out that that birth certificate is fake. The birth certificate tweeted by Malik is fake. And it was proven fake on four different levels by forensic document examiners. That's almost as many points as the forensic document examiners pointed out on Barack Obama's other fake birth certificate that he released back on April 27th, 2011, was it? Anyway, the other fake birth certificate. Now, this Kenyan fake birth certificate, that was only used by Barry to get discounts on college tuition so he could be admitted as a foreign student. And the Hawaiian birth certificate, while not quite as fake as the Kenyan birth certificate, well, they're both fake. Barack Obama. Now, I was going to say something really bad about Barack and his hippie mom, but I think I'm going to leave that aside in my effort to become more of a nice person. I don't want to speak ill of Barry's dead mother, his dead hippie tramp mother. Or him, but he was such a horrible president that he, Barack Obama, such a horrible, horrible, terrible president that he even made an egomaniacal strip club operator from Queens look like an acceptable alternative. And then that's where we end up right now. So anyway, now we have two fake birth certificates and nobody knows where Barry was born. Nobody knows. Barry doesn't know. His mom doesn't know. His half-brother doesn't know. Nobody knows where Barry, he's from parts unknown. Maybe born in the same place as Basil Ellaby, who was smoking crack under the bridge. Maybe. I mean, there's a good chance of that as him being born at Coast General Hospital or there in Hawaii. There's just as good a chance. Now, let's get to serious news about national security, because I know that's why you tune in. It's not to hear me making fun of Barack Obama's mom or a crackhead under a bridge. You tune in to hear serious news about serious goings-on, especially in the world of national security. And Michael Flynn is back in the news. Now, you remember my prediction about Michael Flynn, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. My prediction was, well, here's the official line from the Telegraph newspaper in the United Kingdom. Mr. Flynn, says the Telegraph, was forced to resign when it emerged he had lied to Mike Pence about conversations with the Russian ambassador. To which anyone with half a brain said, well, there's no way that's true. That's just not even close to true. That's as fake a story as Barack Obama's Kenyan / Hawaiian birth certificate. It's just, there's no way that's why. Well, now it turns out that Mr. Flynn apparently failed to disclose meetings he had with a Russian woman. A Russian woman, I said, yes. Svetlana Lokhova. He met her at the Cambridge Intelligence Seminar. And at the time, Mr. Flynn was director of the Defense Intelligence Agency when he was captured in the web of Svetlana. One former Soviet intelligence agent, a Russian intelligence agent, I should say. One Russian intelligence agent says, quote, to my knowledge, Svetlana, she does not have an intelligence service background. But of course, you never know whether someone has been sent by KGB, unquote. And so I thought there might be a woman involved. That's all. And in this day and age, when it comes to talking about one of America's premier intelligence officials being embarrassed and drummed out of his job by some sort of indiscretion such as this, at least it was a woman. Or at least it was Svetlana, right? At least it wasn't Sven. Although he probably would have been promoted if it was Sven, but it wasn't. It was Svetlana, and it turns out she was a Russian agent, and it'll all come out in the wash, and we'll all find out exactly why it was Michael Flynn had to resign, and then, well, I guess we'll just leave it at that. Now, this morning, as I was attending at Denver Bible Church, I had a conversation with a fellow congregant as we were congregating there, as congregations tend to do. And he was talking about his high school kids and how he might want to start homeschooling. And I encouraged him that he should do so. He said he's a little concerned because English was not his first language, nor was it his wife's first language. And so there's some trepidation there. But I was as encouraging as I could be. And I told the young man, I'm willing to help. If you want to ask your kids if they would take the summer off, just think about it. Maybe you don't want to go back to public school. And so he's going to do that. And I am going to send him a link to this show because I have now heard two independent reports from two independent people who have said they decided not to send their kids to government schools based on listening to this show. And that's two independent, yes. And none of them were Russian spies. These were just normal American people. They said, we listen to the show, Doug. We don't want to send our kids into the government schools. So I'm going to send my good friend a link to this show as we delve into reason number 1101, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. CNN reported last week that a Tennessee teacher is now on the state's top 10 most wanted list. He's charged with aggravated kidnapping. And authorities say that the teacher, or former teacher, I should say, Tad, he was a former teacher because he was suspended from his teaching job for sexual contact with a minor. And now he's charged with kidnapping 15-year-old Elizabeth Thomas, a freshman at the high school where he used to teach and apparently come into some sexual contact with minors. Apparently, some once in a while, enough to get him suspended. The teacher's wife, this was heart-wrenching to watch. This 50-year-old male teacher, his poor wife had to go on television and beg him to turn himself in. And it was painful to watch this poor woman as her 50-year-old husband of who knows how many years has run off with a 15-year-old high school freshman. Just heart-wrenching. She gave an impassioned plea for her husband to turn himself in. She was standing beside her pastor at the time, and she said the following to her husband, who's, by the way, he run off with a 15-year-old girl, or kidnapped her, as a matter of fact. She said the following. She said, standing next to her pastor. Did I mention she was standing next to her pastor? She said the following. No matter how far you've gone, God's grace is sufficient for you, and he wants you to come home. And so at that point, I wondered, she's standing right next to her pastor, and maybe the pastor could have leaned in and said, you know, maybe now is not the time to mention grace. Maybe after he repents of kidnapping and molesting the 15-year-old, we could get into a conversation about grace. But now might be the time to talk to him about law. But she was obviously, her entire world has come collapsing down around her. At which time you'd hope she would have a pastor who would be there with some good common sense. But anyway, it is what it is. He's run off with her. He's run off with a 15-year-old. And at last report, they were still on the lam. And so that is reason number 1101. to get or keep your daughter in particular out of the government schools. Her friend may be molested, and then the teacher may kidnap her and flee the state to parts unknown, perhaps living under a bridge. Who knows? Reason number 1,101 to get or keep your kids out of the government schools. 1,101 and counting. I am your host, Doug McBurney, joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. And, before I get into more government school, all of that, because it's very distasteful reporting on what's going on. Did anyone see Hillary Clinton's speech that she gave this past week? Did you guys see her? She's back. That was the headline. Hillary's back. And boy, does it look like losing that election really took a lot out of her. I mean, that really took a toll on her. She's going to look like she's been punched in the stomach for the rest of her life. Just looking really, really rough. And my extremely attractive audio engineer noted that it appears that she is morphing into Angela Merkel. She's turning into Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, right before our eyes. Yes. Oh, I saw her. She just looked just terrible. That was just, that was hard to watch. Not as bad as the woman asking her husband to drop off the 15-year-old and come home. That was much worse. But anyway, so there you have it. And then the New York Times, we want to send congratulations out to the New York Times because, well, in the recent past, many of us have grown somewhat concerned about the ability of the New York Times to actually uncover news and do real reporting, genuine journalism that's meaningful and that teaches us things that we never knew. Well, the New York Times has redeemed itself over the weekend now by revealing that Bill O'Reilly is a creep.
What?
Yes, and he apparently is something of a misogynist. Yes, he treats women disrespectfully.
No.
And he attempts to use his position of power and authority to seduce women. The New York Times has uncovered, it's a bombshell story. The entire media world was shocked when the New York Times uncovered the allegation that Bill O'Reilly is a creep and that he settled at least for sexual harassment. And that's only what the lawyers settled. Who knows what Bill had to shell out of his own pocket in the back of taxi cabs and in the back room of restaurant. Who knows? But congratulations to the New York Times for breaking that shocking story that Bill O'Reilly is in fact a creep and and a misogynist. Okay, that's... So the old gray lady stands and all is right and well with the world again, I suppose. And that means we can move on to reason number 1,103 in no particular order. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, WLS in Chicago reported last night that an arrest has been made in the sexual assault of a 15-year-old Lane Tech High School girl. The assault was streamed live on Facebook by the assailants. The offender arrested is a fellow student, a 14-year-old boy. And according to police, more arrests are imminent as four or five boys were involved. So there you have reason 1,103, of course, to keep your daughter especially out of the government schools. But just as shocking, although I don't know that anything's really shocking anymore, but this at least get your attention. The assault was streamed live on Facebook and viewed by at least 40 people, none of whom called 911. None of them. Reason number 1,103, to get or keep your, well, to keep your son out, too. He could end up being the perpetrator, for crying out loud. Which is worse, your son ends up raping a girl or your daughter is raped? I mean, either one is a good reason just to get or keep your kids out of the government schools, for crying out loud. Do I need to go any further with that? Well, I think I will. And we have here reason number 1,102, in no particular order, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. According to WorldNet Daily, faculty and staff at a charter public school in Sandpoint, Idaho, set up a student club and recruited students to join the club while concealing their activities from the students' parents. That's right, Sandpoint, Idaho. What was it, a spearfishing club, do you think? Maybe a snowshoeing club? Perhaps a sailing club, chess club, maybe. No, it was a gay club, a homosexual club. A club that was set up by the principal, Mary. Principal Mary Jensen at Forest Bird Charter School facilitated kids meeting off campus at a local library under the supervision of supportive third parties. Supportive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That means teachers and faculty were cruising students in the 9th to 12th grades is what that is. Supportive, yeah. The principal seemed somewhat unrepentant. She said, she stated that she was keeping the gay club on the down low. She used the word down low. We're keeping it on the down low. Kids who want to participate in the club did not necessarily want their parents to know. And so the principal facilitated, reason number 1,102. Get your kids out of the government schools because they may be recruited into the homosexual lifestyle by their teachers or their principals or anyone else in the faculty who can get their hooks into them, for crying out loud. All right. Let's leave the American public schools aside for just a moment, because there's no need to beat the dead horse, although with some people, apparently, there is. I mean, my good friend, well, I'm just going to leave that aside. That's a private conversation that I will have with my good friend at some point in the not-too-distant future, I'm sure. Let's move on to Sweden. This is from the Queering of Sweden file. According to Sweden's health minister, the number of children claiming to be the wrong sex has risen 100% each year since records began being kept just a few years ago. Yeah. Every year, the number of kids who claim that they were born boys but they should be girls, or vice versa, it basically doubles every year. And so this is according to a child psychiatrist at the Astrid Lindgren Children's Hospital. Louise says there's a 100% increase in the numbers each year. The people are younger and younger, and more children are coming at very young ages. And the increase, by the way, is identical in the adult population. Approximately 100% increase every year in people who are gender dysphoric. The chief of Karolinska University Hospital's gender identity team, Dr. Cecilia, said the rise reflects greater openness in Swedish society. It's greater openness, you see. I think it's the fact that you introduced the idea that you could be the wrong sex, and you got, a certain number of the population are always kind of on the edge psychologically. And so when given the option to do something fairly incredible that garners the attention of virtually everyone, some mentally unstable people will take that option no matter how fantastically crazy it is. And so there you have it, there in Sweden, where the Stockholm syndrome is taking on a new definition. If you're held long enough by gender dysphoric sex perverts, eventually you could become one, even if you're only 7 years old. And it appears that the gender dysphoric sex perverts are holding the entire nation of Sweden hostage at this point. At least everyone in the gender at the Karolinska University gender identity team. They have a team. We were noting with our children, who we homeschool, by the way, we were talking to the children about their livestock. And we've acquired some, how many new chickens? We've acquired 18 new chicks over the past 4 weeks or so. Not a single chick is gender dysphoric. They all know exactly where they're going. And we didn't need a team. There was no counseling required. And even though the people who sold us the chickens said that there was a really, really, really good chance that they were all hens, it turns out, despite that, some of them are roosters. And they're not afraid to stand up and let you know that they're roosters. There's no confusion in the chickens. And they're very young. They're at the age where one could be confused. They were even told at a very young age that they were the wrong sex. But it didn't take at all. It didn't work a bit. So anyway, we explained that to our children who do not go to the government schools. We explained to them that at the beginning of the creation, God made human beings male and female so that they could get married and have children. And then our children end up to be fairly well-adjusted people. Of course, we didn't let them know there was an option that they could become insane and claim that they were boys.
There's no option.
We never introduced that option.
No, there is no option.
There isn't an option. Well, I mean, there is the option to go insane.
Oh, insane.
But you just don't want to hang that out in front of people and say that you're allowed to go crazy and we'll all pay attention to you. And we'll all make it seem like you're the center of the universe until we use you up, and then we'll cast you aside because we don't really care, which is where the gender dysphoric sex perverts in Sweden and the United States and everywhere else, CNN, MSNBC, several of the alleged female hosts on Fox News. I'm sorry. All right, we'll leave that aside. Let's go to Al Gore. Al Gore comes to us via the science, really, file. Yes. A couple of weeks ago on PBS, on the PBS NewsHour, where you would expect you might find Al Gore, a lot of us were wondering, where is the guy? Well, it turns out he was on PBS, the NewsHour, with, I don't even know who the NewsHour is with anymore. Used to be with Jim Lahr. It used to be the McNeil Lahr NewsHour. Now it's just the NewsHour with whoever. Let's see. Al Gore was being interviewed regarding Donald Trump's EPA administrator, Scott something or other. Apparently, Trump's EPA administrator said that carbon dioxide is not a primary contributor to climate change. And Al Gore said the following. That's a perfect example of a problem I'm describing in The Assault on Reason, which is my new book. Have I had a chance to plug my new book, Jim? It's called The Assault on Reason. And this fella Scott Pruitt is a perfect example of it. Again, at some point, a false belief collides with physical reality, Jim. We are seeing every night on the television news now a nature hike through the Book of Revelation.
What?
Unquote. He set a nature hike through the Book of Revelation. Al Gore, who denies the existence of God. He doesn't even believe the Bible is true. Yet when he wants to lend credibility to his fairly crackpot, cockeyed worldview, he has to refer to something far more impressive than himself, like the Book of Revelation. So Al Gore, when he's trying to lend credibility to his position, makes reference to the Book of Revelation, but we all remember Al's reference to the 12th chakra, and we know what Al really is all about. So get out of here with that Book of Revelation stuff, Al. Tell it to your masseuse. All right. Now, so I'm traveling... I was working in New York City, working in Manhattan, as a matter of fact, sleeping in New Jersey, and working in Manhattan. Now, did you even know that there was a city called West New York, New Jersey? Did you know that? Of course you did not know that, nor do you ever want to know that. If you go through your life never knowing that there is a West New York, New Jersey, your life will have been better lived than mine, having spent three nights in West New York, New Jersey. A lovely place, by the way. The only problem I had was that you had to take a bus and a subway train to get to Manhattan, to where I had to work. And I'm from out west. And out west... only misfits and losers and weirdos ride the bus or the train. Normal people drive their car. But it's not that way back east. Back east, normal people are reduced to animal-like conditions on buses and trains every day. I don't know how they do it. I was standing on a subway holding on to the strap 3.5 inches from another man's face. And our cheeks sometimes bumped each other. Ew. And we had to act like this was just the normal way we live. No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I was approached by the inevitable insane person who wanted to tell me about the universe. And I forget what he was talking about. Starlight and time, I think. And a black hole. And we talked. And he asked me, do you want to get off on 57th Street? That is the Port Authority Station. And I'm thinking, is this person insane? Should I listen to him? Is 57th Street, in fact, the Port Authority Station where I need to get off and change and get onto a bus? Or is this person insane? I didn't know. I wasn't sure. Turns out that in between, he was lucid at points, and he knew where to get off the train. So anyway, that was New York City. Gotham, where I went and worked and did very, very well. Did very well for myself, a hunting and killing. And figuratively, of course, in the sense of a salesman. And then it was off to Chicago. Whirlwind tour, barely even got to come back to the McBurney compound for just a few hours. Back on the road to Chicago. And worked a trade show there 3 days. 8 to 10 hours a day in a booth, nonstop insanity, hard work, ladies and gentlemen. Barely enough time to stop and pee on any one of those 3 days. That's how crazy and insane and how hard you have to work to make a living in the big city. And so at the end of it all, my flight's not until 10 p.m., and we decide we're going to get dinner, which none of us had had a real meal in 3 days. And so we start looking, we're looking at Grubhub. We're on our phones in the booth as we're tearing down the booth. And inevitably, I've noticed lately, ladies and gentlemen, whenever there's more than three or four people talking about getting food, there always has to be one hipster in the crowd who has to say, "Let's get Thai food." And sure enough, we had one. Now, the decision had been made that we were going to hit a burger joint that was convenient to the convention center and on my way to the airport. And everything was right and good in the world until the hipster had to say, "Oh, look, a Thai place." And so because we had a couple of Asians in the group, there were two Asian people in the group, and I'm convinced that your average white person, they feel obligated to eat the Thai food if there's even one Asian within earshot, so they don't hurt anyone's feelings. And so we ended up eating the Thai food. Do you think that's racist to suggest to an Asian person that we should get a burger? Is that fundamentally insulting to their culture?
No.
I mean, can I get a burger for crying out loud? I'm in Chicago. How about an Italian beef sandwich? How about that? No. We had to get Thai food. I had a dish. I decided as I'm looking at the menu in the Thai restaurant, I'm scrolling through my memory banks to see if I had ever had a good Thai meal ever. Scrolling, going back 25 years, never. I have never had a good Thai meal ever. Never, not once, ever. And I'm looking at the menu, and I'm trying to pick something that won't be utterly revolting, because that's what I remember about Thai food, is that it's utterly revolting. And I remember the first time I ate Thai food, I thought, boy, the people who came up with this must have been really hungry. Man. And we probably have some Thai food aficionados in the audience. They're probably relatively offended right now. There may even be some Asians listening. And if I've insulted you, I'm desperately sorry. I go through the menu. I wasn't going to tell people you were Asian. Is that okay to even say you're Asian? That might be racist. All right. Now, so I look at the menu, and it says, here's a salad that's made with onions, lettuce, and pork. And, of course, you have to have the dessert-like hot, sweet peanut oil that's on everything in Thai food. That hot, sticky, dessert-like substance that infiltrates everything in Thai food. That's in there. I knew that was going to be in there. I'm just trying to find something that might disguise that hot, sweet, peanut oil, pepper thing they do. And so I chose the salad. I went with the salad. It's called larb. So the waitress comes to me and she says, "What would you like to have, sir?" I said, "Larb." And she said, "Larb." She wrote it down. It's spelled L-A-R-B. It's called larb. And it's quite possibly the most disgusting thing I've ever attempted to eat in my entire life. It was absolutely horrible. And I don't know, maybe this was a bad Thai place. Maybe I've gone to 20 straight bad Thai places in my life. But I'm sorry. I don't want Thai food. And the next time I'm hungry and some millennial hipster says, "Hey, let's get some Thai food," I think I'm just going to reach and strangle that person. Or at least into unconsciousness. I won't kill them. But I don't want them to actually talk other people into taking me to a Thai restaurant ever again. That's it. It's not going to happen again. Yeah. Mint. That's the thing. That's the other thing that's in everything in Thai food is the mint. Mint is appropriate for mouthwash, toothpaste, and maybe a mojito for my extremely attractive audio engineer. But that's it. Mint is not appropriate in a salad or an entree of any kind. It's just not necessary. Why must you do that? So anyway, next time I'm on the road with the crew, I'm just going to take charge and I'm going to refuse. I'm going to say, look, I want to eat something American. I want to eat something that once had hooves and went, that's all.
I don't force you
no
to
more
eat
Thai food.
Asian food.
No, you don't. People are shocked. They say, oh, your wife is Japanese. You must love that sushi. They do. And I always say, no, I don't eat raw fish. That's disgusting. Why would I do that? Anyway, so now I've offended all of the sushi fans, all the Thai food fans. I know you all hate me now, but this is just who I am. I'm coming out of the closet. I just want to be, this is how I identify. That's all. And who, you really have no right to judge me. And if you are judging me, I want you to stop right now and look at yourself in the mirror and decide how you feel about yourself judging me just because of who I am. Okay, so do I want to go to that? I really don't want to do that. Oh, here we go. This is from earlier in the month. I was away. This is from March 3rd. Apparently, Donald Trump made a proposal to Planned Parenthood. He basically said, look, if you'll stop doing abortions, I'll keep the money coming. $500 million a year? Hey, even more. I know you do cancer screenings. You do lots of other really important women's health care. Wonderful, beautiful, wonderful things. If you would just stop with the abortions, we'll keep the money coming. So Trump made the proposal to Cecile Richards, the president of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. The Federation, wasn't that the Death Star in Star Trek? Wasn't or Star Wars? The Federation? Oh, no, maybe that was a Rush album. Attention, all planets of the Celestial Federation. We have assumed control. Something like that. Anyway, the Federation to me is just bad. Just bad. The Russians are a federation right now with their Steel Eagle and the KGB spies. Vladimir Putin poisoning people. They're part of the Federation. Anyway, Cecile Richards of the Planned Parenthood Federation, which receives about a half a million? No, I believe it's a half a billion. I don't know. What this is from CNN. They need some editors over there. $500 million annually. CNN notes that taxpayer dollars do not fund abortion services provided by Planned Parenthood, which provides a range of reproductive health services and preventive screenings, whatever that means. A range of reproductive health services and preventative screenings is what they do. That's what the money's for, you see. Anyway, Cecile Richards says, quote, Planned Parenthood is proud to provide abortions, damn it. Planned Parenthood is proud to provide abortions. An abortion is vital to our mission as birth control or cancer screenings, which we actually don't do, but people think we do. So I'm just going to run with that. I'm on my way to the promised land. Woo! I'm on the highway to hell. Highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. Highway to hell. Don't stop me. And if you are a fellow traveler along that wide, broad highway, along with Cecile Richards, you may encounter California State Attorney General Javier Becerra, who this past week leveled felony charges against David Dalyden and Sandra Merritt of the Center for Medical Progress. You remember the videos revealing Planned Parenthood's appetite for dead baby parts and the profiteering and whatnot, the selling of dead baby parts. You remember that. Well, Dalyden has been charged now with a felony by State Attorney General Javier Becerra out in California. Javier says that Dalyden and Merritt invaded the privacy of medical providers by filming without consent. Filming without consent? Well, apparently a felony in California, at least in this case. So Dalyden and Merritt were indicted in Texas by a similar radical, frothing-at-the-mouth post-abortive heathen back in January of 2016. But all of those charges were eventually dropped, as all of these eventually will be dropped, because they are ridiculous. Now, if Dalyden and Merritt end up in jail, I will be the first one to stand up and say they should not be in jail. They should not be charged. But if they do end up in jail, they should celebrate and be happy, because there's few things in life that are as satisfying as being unjustly thrown into jail. It's a pretty good feeling. I've been there. I've been in jail on trumped-up charges related to my preaching of the gospel, as a matter of fact. And it feels pretty good to be in jail when you've been thrown in there for something like that. On the other hand, the other side of the coin is you don't want to be Basil Ellaby, the crackhead who's in jail in Atlanta right now. If Basil runs into David Dalyden, you're going to be able to see two vastly different personalities and experiences. So anyway, the folks at the Center for Medical Progress should want to go to jail. In fact, if I was David Dalyden, I would demand that I be arrested and get locked up. I mean, how are you going to get any more publicity out of this, David, for crying out loud? Don't you know how to do this? He should surrender to police and demand that he be put in jail. That way, we could all start standing up and demanding that he be released. And we could start a ruckus over this thing. I mean, they've killed 60 million innocent people. We should start a ruckus, I think. You would have thought that Dalyden's videos would have been enough to start a ruckus, but they really didn't. Which is kind of a sign of the times right there. Speaking of a sign of the times, we go to Los Angeles, California, where arrests by the LA County Sheriff's Department and the San Diego Police Department have dropped by 25%. From 2013 to 2015, let's see, police recorded the lowest number of arrests in nearly 50 years in Southern California. And the numbers of arrests still are on the decline. And the LA Times says the following: it is unclear why officers are making fewer arrests. As if we're supposed to take them seriously after they say that. What do you mean it's unclear why officers are making fewer arrests? It's perfectly clear. It's perfectly clear that the news media and the radical left and Barry Obama and George Soros and all their puppets are flat out at war with the police. That's why they're making fewer arrests. They're terrified. Not to put too fine a point on it, but I mean, if you're working at the LA Times, you would think that you get that. But apparently, it's not that they don't get it. It's that they don't want you to get it. And they have the audacity to assume that you don't get it by putting a line in their article like, it's unclear. It's not unclear. It hasn't been unclear for like 5 years. What are you people living on another planet? It's unclear. And now, to add insult to injury, a 2014 ballot measure was approved by California voters that downgraded many drug and property felonies down to misdemeanors. And so now the police, they say that arresting these people, it isn't even worth their time and trouble. They're right back out on the street. And by the way, the LA Times reports that the drop in arrests comes amid a persistent increase in crime. In crime, yeah. Crime is going up, arrests are going down. Where's my story? Oh, here we go. And this is the problem with democracy. This is the problem with allowing people to think that they can write their own laws and that they can vote and change their own laws. That is problematic. You're not supposed to do that. I know. Many of you worship democracy as if it were handed down from Mount Sinai, but it was not. Democracy is it's not right. It's dangerous and problematic. And so is legislation in general. The idea that we can get in a room and start creating laws is very dangerous. Because given enough time and opportunity, people will eventually legalize everything that is criminal. Eventually it will happen. And listen to this. And that's what just happened in California. They took a step. They took all these felonies and made them misdemeanors because, they're all a bunch of guilty sinners. That's why. And they haven't dealt with it, for crying out loud. So they just decide, well, let's make it legal. And now from there, let's go to Paris. The Paris City Council has voted to ban what's being called porno chic fashion ads. This is advertisements on billboards and buses and the outdoor television screens that is, it's flat out pornographic. Yves Saint Laurent is mentioned in the story here from the Daily Mail. And I cannot describe to you what's in some of their advertisements that are in public in front of God and everybody on the side of a bus in Paris, up on the big screen. So the Paris City Council, even a bunch of sex perverts at the Paris City Council were like, well, this is too much. This is pornography right there in the public square. And so they voted to ban it because, well, they had to. Because Yves Saint Laurent and other advertisers are pushing the envelope. Every campaign gets a little bit more pornographic, a little bit more sexually suggestive, until we're at a point now in the advertising world where it's very difficult to get anyone's attention without sex. That's where we are right now. Go to any website that covers news, even a conservative website, even websites that are run by Christians, and if they subscribe to any of the ad services that provide revenue to them, their websites on the right side of the page and down below the fold are covered with pornography because it's getting more and more difficult to get anyone's attention without sex. And so now in Paris, it's gotten so distasteful that the Paris City Council had to say, wait a minute, you can't do this. You can't put that picture of that woman on the bus. That's pornography. And now I just mentioned in L.A. they voted that all these felonies are now misdemeanors. And now you've got advertisers led by, Yves Saint Laurent, and here in the United States, the Carl's Jr. people. What the Axe body foam people, the whatever the deodorant ads. By the way, Carl's Jr. dropped that ad. They said they're going to clean it up. Oh. I just read that. So we could eat there again. Maybe not. Maybe. Anyway. Well, here's the thing, folks. This is this idea that we can write rules and laws for ourselves. It's a very dangerous idea. Because eventually we'll legalize everything that's illegal because we're all a bunch of sinners. That's why. We all tend to do wicked things. And given enough time and opportunity, it'll just get worse and worse, and it's getting worse and worse. And in advertising, given enough time and opportunity, all advertisement will become pornography. All media will become nothing but pornography, including the ads. And look at the music. Look at the video games, the movies, the TVs, the magazines, the newspapers, the websites. Look at them right now. Do you think 5 or 10 years from now it's going to be more pornographic than it is right now or less pornographic than it is right now? Well, this idea that we can make up the law as long as we all agree on it, well, that's dangerous. That's going to destroy our civilization. You're not supposed to make up laws. I forget who it was, but it was a great teacher who said, laws are not created. They are discovered. And they're typically discovered in the Bible, as a matter of fact. And so this idea that we can just write our own rules, well, it's problematic. And I think I've pretty much said all there is. Is there anything else here? All right, here we go. Really quick, because we're almost out of time. Reason number 1099 to get or keep your kids out of the government schools. The New York City Education Department is dropping its literacy test for teachers. They had a test that teachers had to pass. In order to prove that they could read and write, the test has been called racist, and New York City is dropping. No more testing.
I can be a teacher.
No, you could be a teacher, for crying out loud. No more literacy tests in the New York City public schools. And now, reason number 1,100 to get or keep your children out of government schools. In Miami, Ernestella LaFrance, a 30-year-old mom, showed up at Carroll City High School, knocked the cell phone out of a teenage girl's hand, and then beat her up, apparently on behalf of her daughter. So mom showed up at school and beat up her daughter's rival, and then later used an axe to destroy the girl's car and broke the teenage girl's middle finger. It all started with a fight between LaFrance's daughter and a group of other girls at Carroll City High School. LaFrance then showed up with her partner, Erlisa. All right, this gets even worse. Just reason number 1,100, as if you needed any more, to get or keep your children out of the government schools, please. Do I have to say any more? I think not. All right, that's it for the show. That's the whole show. And we'll be back next week. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and American Right to Life. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studio. Should the Lord tarry, we will return. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.